those of you who wonder what the future may bring and what the past might have been, we offer Nightfall. Welcome, dear friends. Frederick Hend, your guide on this week's journey. Do you know who you are? Silly question, isn't it? But think about it. Because tonight, we meet a man who has a real problem with his roots. Listen.
No!
Philip!
Help me!
Stop him!
Help me!
He's going toward the elevator! Orderly!
Hold on.
The doctor wants to see you.
Oh, please.
Bring me a stretcher. I want him strapped down.
Yes, doctor.
Philip, listen to me. Both of you, listen to me. I'm a phony. Did you hear that, Philip? I'm a huckster. I learned palmistry in high school from a magazine. I'm not a fortune teller. I'm a fraud. It's all a fraud, Philip. You can't believe in it because there's nothing to believe in. So you may have been fooled, but you haven't been changed. Do you understand? You haven't changed. Now, come on. I'm checking you out of this funhouse.
You can't do that.
Come on. Stand up.
We are partners. His hands are our contract. And besides, Mr. Raitt, they are not finished yet.
Well, more in a minute. Our players are Rick Reed, Beth Kaplan, and Otto Lowy. The story is Lifeline and was penned by Edmonton author Frank Moore. Our director is John Giuliani. Sometimes, dear listener, things are exactly as you believe they are.
Lousy mattress, eh?
Please, my hands.
Here. Wrap it in my undershirt. How did this happen to you?
Lighter exploded.
One of those plastic jobs, eh?
Yeah.
Worse than grenades. I better call you an ambulance. Who else? The wife.
Call Alicia Eisner. Her card's there beside the phone.
Yeah, here. I got it. Alicia Eisner, palmist, and psychic.
Psychic. She told me this would happen.
She did.
I didn't believe her. My hand.
Mr. Rayet? Are you Philip Rayet?
What?
I hope you're Philip Rayet, because if you're not, I just woke you up for nothing.
It's you.
Alicia Eisner. How do you do? I won't ask you to shake hands. Mr. Roth phoned and said you'd like to see me?
Yeah, that's right. I wanted you to see what happened to me.
You did?
Well, sure. I thought you'd want to know.
Why?
Well, I mean, you told me this would happen, right? Yeah, and I just wanted to thank you and apologize for being such a jerk about it.
Well, that's very nice, Mr. Ray.
Sure.
But I've never seen you before in my life.
What?
You must have me confused with someone else. Maybe Madame Luna? I mean, I'd remember if I'd met you. I make a point of remembering tall, dark men with curly hair.
We met in your store.
My studio?
Yeah, you read my palms. I don't see how you could forget. You told me the palms show three things about a person. His personality, his future, and his past.
That's right.
You remember now.
I tell that to everyone. That, Mr. Rayet, is the ABC of palmistry.
Okay, but then you looked at my lifeline, that's it. And you warned me to be careful or I'd have some kind of accident. And you said it would have something to do with fire. Well, I didn't believe you, of course, then, but now, you really don't remember.
Hey, listen, you got a little upset. They pumped a bit of morphine into you. You got a little confused.
I'm not crazy.
And it's not that I wouldn't like to remember. Usually it takes forever to get somebody to believe. You see, palmistry is a self-fulfilling prophecy, Mr. Rayet. Power of suggestion. It's by believing in your future that you cause it to happen. In fact, anything is possible. If you believe. But I don't believe we've met.
I don't understand.
Sorry.
Can I still come to see you when I get out?
Look, I don't think it would...
Please.
Well, if it means that much to you, I guess so.
Thanks.
But wait till the bandages are off. Oh, and don't worry, Mr. Rayet. I won't forget you again. Mr. Rayet.
Huh. So this time she remembers me.
How could I forget? But to tell you the truth, this isn't the best time.
Miss Eisner.
Coming, doctor. You see, I'm with a client. I thought you'd come and see me at my studio. I didn't think...
Forget it. Sorry I exist.
Mr. Rayet.
Maybe I don't exist.
I didn't know you saw other clients at home, Miss Eisner.
Well, I
thought I paid you a premium for the privilege.
I'm not a client.
Mr. Rayet's kind of a friend, Dr.
Please.
Heinlein.
No names, then? I'll come back tomorrow.
Doctor, huh? What's his specialty, bloodletting?
That is the best plastic surgeon in the city. Which is why he doesn't want to be seen consulting a palmist. He thinks it'd ruin his reputation, which it would. So I do all his readings here. He's absolutely devoted to me. He wouldn't operate without my permission. Anyway, and what can I do for you?
Can I come in?
I'd really rather we met at my studio.
I need your help now.
What is it?
Do you remember you told me the palms show you three things about a person?
Yeah, his personality, his future...
And his past.
Yes.
Well, what if you have no lines?
No lines?
In your palms. What if your palms are just... Alicia. Can I call you Alicia?
Sure.
I went back to my apartment this morning. And everything I owned was gone. The landlady had thrown it all out. She said there hadn't been anybody renting it for a year. And I was lucky she didn't charge me with trespassing. Mr. Roth said the same thing. He said he'd never seen me before in his life. I went back to the garage where I work. They treated me like some kid off the street. They made me fill out an application form for a job I'd been doing 8 years. My boss said if I'd been working there for 8 years, how come he'd never seen me before?
I don't understand. You mean...
I mean, you're not the only one who forgot me. Ever since I got out of the hospital, it's like my whole past has disappeared.
That's crazy.
I'm not crazy. Take off my gloves.
Why?
Just... Take them off.
Oh, my God.
Now the other.
They're blank. Both palms. There's not a line on them.
You see?
Oh, but Mr. Rayet, this doesn't mean
then
that...
Then why did you forget me? I came into your shop, your studio... You read my palms. You told me my past like you knew it better than I did. So why don't you remember? Why doesn't anybody remember?
Yes, Doctor?
When Mr. Rayet arrives, you may show him directly in.
Yes, Doctor.
He's crazy. The guy is absolutely crazy.
Then why is he coming here?
He wants a second
Miss
opinion.
Miss Eisner.
All right. I'll tell you what he thinks is wrong. He thinks his past has disappeared.
Oh?
He thinks that ever since this fire burned his hands and left them sort of bald, that it's like it burned away his whole life, too. Oh, look, Doctor. It's not a job for you. It's a job for a shrink.
What does he want us to do?
I don't know. He just said he needed to talk to both of us. But if you could tell him it's your medical opinion that he ought to get some counseling.
This way, Mr. Raitt.
He's here.
Thanks. Hi. Sorry I'm late. I can't drive my car anymore. It's too hard on the hands. Besides, the insurance company tells me I don't exist.
That's quite all right, Mr. Raitt. Please, sit down.
Hi, Alicia.
Philip. This is Dr. Heinlein, who you sort of met.
I'm sorry if I was brusque with you the other day. I did not realize you were a fellow believer.
Believer?
In palmistry, Philip.
I, of course, have known for many years that the hands are an expression of some higher power. One cannot perform every day as a surgeon without coming to that humbling conclusion, but one also has to be discreet. There are many sophomores in the College of Physicians and Surgeons. Now, Mr. Raitt, tell us how we may help you.
Well, about 2 months ago, I burned my hands with...
Yes, Alicia has told me of your unfortunate accident and its consequences. But what can we do?
I want you to rebuild my palms.
What?
I'm going to sit down with Alicia and tell her everything I can remember about my life. Then she can do up a diagram of what my palms must have looked like. Kind of like the police do those composite sketches. And then you can rebuild them on my hands, see?
Because you think that by reconstructing your palms, you can reconstruct your past.
Maybe.
I see.
Well, doctor?
Well, Mr. Raitt, I admire a man willing to experiment to flirt with the unknown. But I'm not sure you have thought things through completely.
But
listen to him, Philip.
That is, you are missing half the equation, aren't you? Rather, as if Einstein had written E equals... and left it at that.
I don't get you.
To be precise, the past is actually reflected in the left palm only. The future is reflected in the right. Personality, of course, is a combination of the two. Isn't that so, Miss Eisner?
Yes, but I don't see...
Therefore, if by reconstructing your left palm we can recreate your past... then surely by constructing for you a new right palm, we can create your future.
Wait a minute.
Give me your right hand, Mr. Raitt.
Dr. Heinlein.
Your right hand, Mr. Raitt. Say we run the fate line from here to here, placing a star here for success. Say we run a double headline across the top of the palm. You wouldn't mind doubling your mental capacity, would you, Mr. Raitt?
No.
I didn't think so. And say it intersects the money line. Yes, the beginning here at the base of the thumb, slashing across the line of fame and coming to rest in another star. So.
As your advisor, Doctor, I say it's a bad idea. And as your advisor, Philip, I say it's a terrible idea.
Why? I mean, this is kind of interesting.
Philip, this is kind of impossible.
So is telling the future, Miss Eisner. Still, you do it.
Look, what I do is no more than your mother would do for you, or Norman Vincent Peale. I use your hands as a way to make you feel hopeful, so you can go out and create the kind of future you want. It's the suggestion, not the lines in your palm, that does it.
Exactly.
But you can't just... prefab your life.
Can't. I think you underestimate the power of Mr. Raitt's faith, and perhaps of your own powers as well. You really are a most fascinating maze of contradictions, Miss Eisner. Such an extraordinary talent, such a conventional mind. And was it you who once taught me that everything is possible if one believes strongly enough? As I think Mr. Raitt does.
How much will it cost?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Allow me to do it for future considerations.
Good. Again. Good. I think that is enough, nurse.
Yes, doctor. Doctor, are you sure this will work?
The anesthetic? Don't you feel it already?
I mean, the surgery.
Ah, well, you do still believe, don't you, Mr. Raitt?
I believe.
Good. And just breathe. Breathe. Leave the future to me. He's asleep. William out and bandage his hands.
Doctor, the surgery...
The surgery is impossible. You cannot reconstruct a man's palms, nurse. That doesn't really matter. All that matters is that he thinks I have.
Peaceful lying here. I almost wish we didn't have to wake him up.
But why? He may have a wonderful new life ahead of him now, though he will have to spend the first 2 weeks of it here in the hospital, and his hands will have to remain bandaged for some time.
How long?
Possibly several months.
Poor guy.
By the way, I never had an opportunity to compliment you on your designs. The right hand especially was a masterpiece.
Look, doctor, there's only one reason I agreed to this scheme, and that's because I knew Philip wouldn't give up till he'd tried it. Now, if he can just forget about it, maybe we can get him the kind of help he really needs.
My dear young woman, we don't know yet that the operation hasn't worked.
I do.
How?
I'm psychic, remember? Now we'll see.
Morning, Mr. Raitt.
Alicia!
I'm here, Philip. You've come through just fine.
Hold me.
Is something wrong, Mr. Raitt?
I feel...
odd. Kind of different.
It's just the anesthetic. It hasn't worn off yet.
No, I think not.
I mean, I feel different. Something about me has changed. I feel changed.
Changed? Of course. Past, the future, and the personality.
I don't understand what's happened to me.
You never had to understand, Mr. Raitt. You only had to believe.
Please, doctor, you're just upsetting him.
Everything about your friend is upset, Miss Eisner. I'm afraid we have failed to foresee that this would be a side effect of the experiment.
Experiment? What experiment?
I thought we might prove that a person could control his own future simply by the power of his belief. But Mr. Raitt has taken matters a step further. He obviously, subconsciously, anticipated that a change to his hands would reorder his personality as well. We did, after all, suggest to him that a person's very being resides in his palms. And Mr. Raitt is a highly suggestible young man.
What does he mean?
He means you feel this way because you think you're supposed to feel this way.
No, you did this to me.
Doctor, I can't hold him.
I understand it's impossible to foresee all such complications, Mr. Raitt. But you must also understand that this means the experiment is a success. Or shall we say, a success destined.
No!
Philip!
Help me!
Stop him!
Help me!
He's going toward the elevator! Orderly!
Hold on.
The doctor wants to see you.
Oh, please.
Bring me a stretcher. I want him strapped down.
Yes, doctor.
Philip, listen to me. Both of you, listen to me. I'm a phony. Did you hear that, Philip? I'm a huckster. I learned palmistry in high school from a magazine. I'm not a fortune teller. I'm a fraud. It's all a fraud, Philip. You can't believe in it because there's nothing to believe in. So you may have been fooled, but you haven't been changed. Do you understand? You haven't changed. Now, come on. I'm checking you out of this funhouse.
You can't do that.
Come on. Stand up.
We are partners. His hands are our contract. And besides, Mr. Raitt, they are not finished yet.
What?
Walk, Philip.
I needed some insurance, didn't I? Insurance against this very sort of betrayal. I had an investment to protect, and so I omitted one small detail of Miss Eisner's design. Lifeline. You have no lifeline, Mr. Raitt.
No.
So you see, we have to stay together. You're too vulnerable to illness. An accident, perhaps. But Miss Eisner can foresee the dangers to you. But without us, you'll die.
That's not true.
It is, if he believes it is. And you do, don't you, Mr. Raitt? You do believe.
There's a stretcher, Doc. Hey! What are you doing?
Get away from me! Get away from me! Get out of my way! Safe. They can't get me in here. No one can get me. I can't die if I don't believe. She said it herself. It's all a fraud. It stopped. The elevator. They've stopped it. They're coming. I've got to get out. Got to. Out through the top, yes. If I stand on the stretcher, I can... got to open it. There. It's open. If I can pull myself through... God. Out. I'm out. I'm safe. I can't feel it beneath me. The elevator. It's falling. I'm falling. Alicia. Heinlein. I don't believe. I don't believe. Listen to me. I don't believe.
Eisner. She told me this would happen. I didn't believe her.
Good morning, Doctor.
Miss Eisner.
You're early today.
Yes. Well, I came straight from the hospital. I have to be in my office by one. Mrs. Hampton wants her nose bobbed.
The next Miss Universe, huh?
Well, anything is possible.
Did they identify him yet?
Hmm? Oh, the body in the elevator shaft. No. No one seems to know who he is.
Weird.
And they haven't even fingerprints to go on. It seems he grabbed for some cables on the way down. His hands were completely destroyed.
He looked familiar to me.
Yes?
Nothing particular, just... well, someone I passed on the street once, maybe. Well, shall we begin?
I'm ready.
Then give me your hands.
Thank you.
Sometimes when things get really confusing, it's hard to even catch up to yourself. Here are the participants of tonight's play.
Lifeline was written by Frank Moore and starred Rick Reed as Philip Raitt, Beth Kaplan as Alicia Eisner, and Otto Lowy as Dr. Heinlein. Also featured were Leroy Schultz as the orderly, Judith Berlin as the nurse, and Joseph Golland as Mr. Roth. Sound engineering was by Chris Cutress, with sound effects by Joe DeSilva. Production assistant, Loretta Joyce. Lifeline was produced and directed in Vancouver by John Giuliani. And now an excerpt from next week's play.
Anyone could commit murder under certain circumstances. And everyone has, at some time in his life, experienced an impulse of murderous rage. Now, what concerns us is the point at which that impulse becomes irresistible.
Fools. I'm standing in Dr. Kosodick's office, and if I don't get Saul down on tape, I shall go mad. I'm not mad yet. I feel perfectly fine, except perhaps for a few gaps in my memory, but that can't be helped. My name is Alan Hart. I'm 38 years old, 5 feet 11 inches tall, with dark hair and a scar on my left hand. But I must speak quickly. Any moment now, they may discover I'm missing from the ward. So this may be the last chance I get before they shoot me full of drugs again. 6 weeks after I came here, or was it only 5? I have trouble remembering now. They finally issued me a string to hold up my pajama bottoms. No, wait. Farther back. It all started farther back. 6 months ago. Yeah. There was a party. A wet night. A few drinks. Yeah.
Oh. You want me to drive?
Are you suggesting your husband has had one too many?
No, I'm not suggesting anything. Alan, come on, just get this thing moving, will you?
All right.
Oh, God!
Over here.
Oh, Alan, you all right?
I'm fine.
Are you sure
you... Look, for God's sake, Helen, will you let me drive?
Helen, please, look out!
Helen lying beside me, only she was dead. But I didn't know that until we reached the hospital. They patched me up. I went back to work. Although the company had offered me a long leave of absence when Helen was killed, I insisted I needed work more than a rest. But the body has its limitations. And in my effort to blot out the memory of my wife's death, I guess I've been driving mine too hard.
You'll hear more about that next week when we consider the terror of being trapped inside and Nika Rilski's play, The Tie That Binds. Until then, I'm Frederick Hend for Nightfall.